Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
That's why each individual police officer, officer of the law, has to recognize when they're being used, the train that is right or wrong.
And the policy of the past century is deeply flawed and has not served our national security interests. What if we wake up one day and realize that the terrorist threat is a predictable consequence of our meddling in the affairs of others and has nothing to do with us being free and prosperous? What if propping up repressive regimes in the Middle East endangers both the United States
and then using that funding to put the people in undue obedience?
That's
exactly what it is. And if we're really getting down to something now, because one of the most wicked attempts and attacks on our freedom happened in 1913. It's called the 16th Amendment. In the same year is the 17th Amendment. Both of those, we're talking right now, the 16th Amendment basically made it to where the federal government can now tax the people directly. Take that money right out of your paycheck.
We're going down a rabbit hole now, man.
And then do whatever they want with it, including these federal grants to the local law enforcement and with memorandums of understanding that they will not arrest individuals.
Yes.
What was the term that you called it? What was the term of these individuals of, minority individuals or what?
Marginalized peoples under policy.
I mean, that is all, if the federal government did not have the funds that they've literally stolen from the people's paychecks, they would not be able to, manipulate our law enforcement forces, our police forces. They would not be able to manipulate our schools. They would not be able to, the list, it's amazing. They would not be able to put law enforcement all over the world.
Yeah. But anyway. I wasn't gonna go back to this, but I think it's important. When you and I spent time in Pahrump, I shared with you certain information regarding our research, and I go back. I don't speak out of opinion, and I'm going to say that there is a very respected professor. His name is Thomas Woods, and he gave a presentation on the 14th Amendment. And that presentation we're going to share with you right now. Okay, now that presentation by Thomas Woods that explained to you that there were literally representatives of states who were kidnapped under duress. And folks, for those of you out there that might say that we're pro-slavery, nothing of the sort. I don't believe that Ammon or myself or anyone else or Thomas Woods or anyone else believes that slavery is justifiable. Okay? So let's just delve just one second into the research that Bruce Ray Riggs and myself have presented to the American people, along with Thomas Woods and many others. Representatives were kidnapped to meet their quorum to justify the ratification of an amendment that was never lawfully ratified. And when I say that, President Andrew Johnson was sequestered in the Blair House under gunpoint. He said two things during two veto addresses of this amendment. The law itself will become unlawful. And in the other veto address,
there will become a de facto government. De facto. We always hear that, de facto. President. I'm not talking about some squirrely politician from Iowa. President of the United States, Andrew Johnson, said that this will create a de facto government. Why? Because we are citizens of our independent nation states. These states are very much like countries. And what he was saying was that the creation of 14th Amendment U.S. citizenship meant that there was a now nationalized citizenship. Folks, this was the communist citizenship that was implemented in the United States. We can prove by conclusive documentation and evidence on the congressional record that not only Andrew Johnson, the President of the United States, did not sign this, but the Secretary of State, Andrew Johnson, signed two executive orders that were fake in that he was not the executive. Folks, this is what bothers me. And what bothers me is when we have a process which is lawful, and we have a process which is subverted, say in 1868, which is a long time ago, granted, but when you have a subverted process in 1868, and we keep going on from there, doesn't it not require us to return back to the point where a fraud or a crime was committed and say, hey, we have a problem here. This needs to, at very least, needs to be discussed. Is that not unreasonable?
No, not at all. And it's because of these things, you know, and uncovering them and people seeing the truth that causes people to say, you know, I no longer am going to fund, you know, this wickedness. Right. I'm no longer going to do this. I'm no longer going to, you know, participate in it. I feel like if I participate in it, then I'm contributing to it. I'm supporting it and helping it. And then on the other hand, you have, you know, your good Republicans who want to say, well, we got to pay the taxes, you know, or he's a good Republican, pays his taxes, he's a good law-abiding citizen. I mean, how many times have you heard that?
And
Sick. Who's the ignorant one? It reminds me of my neighbor who actually, when he was probably before I was even born, he had a battle with the government, and his church leader called him in and said, hey, what are you doing? You know, you're going against the law, and that's not what we do, you know. And he said to his ecclesiastical leader, he said, who is better to obey the law, one who knows it or one who doesn't?
Amen! Amen!
And that's how you feel when you talk to these people, you know, that just want to say, pay your taxes, or, you know, pay, like in my dad's case, pay your grazing fees.
Well, yeah.
Absolutely not. You
refuse. I refuse to consent the contract with people that are trying to railroad me. How hard is that to understand?
Yeah, I have a business in Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, and at one time it was a pretty nice fleet maintenance business. And, you know, since two years and thrown in prison and all that, been hard on it. But I literally have told myself that because I'm literally a tax collector for the federal government. I mean, I write, you know.
No, yeah, I get it. I get it.
I do payroll and I see my employees and I just feel for them because I see, you know, they've got families, they got other, and I see, you know, I write them. You know, I write them, let's say, a $1,200 or a $1,500 paycheck a week, right? And I see $400 or $500 or sometimes even $600 of that goes to, you know, federal taxes. And that's just one employee. And then you go through the list. And so, you know, I'm
just don't what we need is a couple more bureaucrats, right?
I'm writing thousands of dollars a week to the federal government. And I'm just a little business. I'm just a small little business, right?
Yeah.
And then what are they doing with that? You know, they're taking that money and plotting to destroy my family.
Don't you know? $450 for a toilet seat, $800 for a bench. Come on, you know.
But they spent over $100 million prosecuting that.
That's the real secret.
And here, I am literally taking money out of my pocket, out of my employees' pockets, you know, that is hard earned, and giving it to this, you know, entity that is using it, just wasting it, and I'm taking a good, you know, chunk of that to try to actually destroy me and my family, my loved ones. And at some point, I've literally said that if they come after me again, I'm going to put a big banner about 50 foot long, because I actually have a shop on a, you know, kind of a corner of a main street, saying no longer I'm not going to fund the federal government in the destruction of my family.
I got to ask you a question. You know, not to toot my own horn, but like I designed that Harney County Resource Center sign, can I design the banner, Emin?
No longer am I going to fund the federal government in the destruction of my family.
I'm with you, brother.
You know, and who in their right mind would do that? You know, I know they say, well, give unto Caesar what is Caesar and unto God what is God. Most people misunderstand.
They do misinterpret.
The Lord was teaching, misinterpret. But on the same hand, I would be insane. And so would they be insane to think that they can continue to come after my family unwarranted, unjustified. They have been exposed. The wickedness has been clearly shown to the people.
Yes, it has.
And they still come after me. Do you think I am going to be loyal to that type of system, that government?
Yeah, I get you. I have to tell you, you know that I'm still under federal probation, and I have no fear because I stand in the Lord to tell you that I stand with you, liberty or death. That's a fact. And I don't mean that because of the Bundys, but I mean that because the cause of which you stand, I believe, not because of a Bundy, not because of a Finicum, not because of any other reason, but because and everything that I've researched, and everybody that listens to my show knows, I'm a constitutional historian. I've read back through the congressional record going all the way back to the beginning. I believe that the most important stand in American history today is exactly the stand that your family took. I mean that with my heart, brother.
Well, it certainly has been a great trial and blessing to so many because of that courageous, valiant stand that my father took and said, no more. You know, it's put our lives into a tremendous...
What an amazing man.
Whirlwind.
Salt of the earth.
Yeah, but it was the right thing to do. And Malheur was the right thing to do.
It sure
and
was.
This conversation that we're having right now and the many conversations and the tremendous exposure and uncovering and education would not have happened if we did not
make agree.
A change. You know, in that value. And the Hammonds wouldn't be home.
That's right. Praise God, right?
Yeah. And no one person can take responsibility. No one person can take the responsibility for the hounds being home.
No,
but
I understand that.
There is,
but you know,
no
what?
Doubt in my mind. There is no doubt in my mind that if the refuge did not happen, the Hammonds would not be home.
I agree.
They would not be. They're not just home.
I agree.
They're fully exonerated.
Completely exonerated.
They are not felons anymore. They were felons, and as a rancher, how do you go and, you know, defend your cattle against predators as a felon? You know, and I'm not saying that other, you know, that the right to self-defense is, you know.
Ammon, let me back up what you're saying. You know, a long time ago, I got very sick. There's a lot of things that happened in my life. I made a lot of mistakes, and I developed, even though all of those mistakes that I made, when I came to the point where I knew that the Hammonds were being unjustly persecuted upon, I knew what I was risking by coming there, but there's been something that happened to me previous to this. Jesus Christ entered my life, and my sins were washed away. And the way I looked at it was, regardless of whatever designation the government chose to label, I knew what a righteous cause was. My father, he was a judge, I told you many times. He was a Democrat judge, but he was a judge. But he really, in his heart, sought justice for people. He didn't want people to be unduly burdened by the government for nonviolent offenses, things that didn't hurt other people. And he used the weight of his office to try and help people to effectuate that objective. And I have to say that, you know, not only do I not regret coming, knowing that I could risk what I did, Your father made me want to be, and I'm not holding him up to be any kind of a figure or anything other than a man, because I only worship Jesus Christ, but your father, and speaking with your brother Ryan, made me want to be a better man, made me seek and desire to stand up for my fellow man, who I had no personal interest in anything that the Hammonds were doing. You can say that. Out of all the people that showed up, how many people had a personal interest in Hammonds? Anybody?
Not very many. I mean,
but for the righteousness of the cause.
Yeah, I mean, they understood and did have a love for them, but most of them didn't, you know them personally at all. Never mean
no. No. But we stood because folks out there in the listening audience, they came for the fishermen. I didn't stand because I wasn't a fisherman. They came for the rancher. Well, I didn't stand because I wasn't a rancher. And they came for me. Oh, there was nobody like me because everybody else had been taken. The point is when you see an injustice that is so egregious, that is so wrongful, if you don't stand and risk your life, your liberty, your fortune, your sacred honor, we've heard these things since we were children, so what are we to do with them? What are we to learn from these things? These things are godly things. These things are so godly. Romans 1, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Think about this for a minute. Folks, these folks, the Hammonds, the Bundys, and many other people like them, the 40-some that came before the Bundys that were economically terrorized into submission, those who took a stand didn't take a stand for themselves. They took a stand for you out there in the listening audience. You and your families, your cousins, your brothers, your sisters. And isn't that right, Ammon?
That's exactly right. And the understanding that I had and what motivated me to get involved in the Hammond case was an understanding that what is happening to the Hammonds will happen to families all across this country.
All of us.
And what is happening in Harney County will happen all across this country if we do not stand and stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We are being successful. We have been successful.
Dude, and not for anything, but you
were
blessed.
By the hand of the Lord.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, we haven't had, huge pain. And there have, been great sacrifices.
I lost every year of my life, and so many more have lost so much more than I ever have.
It has been.
It was worth it
for a cause that is just and honorable, and it has been effective.
And I mean, out of all of you guys that were found not guilty, some of my listeners have asked me, well, so why did you take a plea? They asked me. I want to answer that with you on the air right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I had been very sick for a very long time with Lyme disease. And this is not a comfortable subject for me to talk about, but I'm going to be honest. And I'm going to be transparent. When I became sick, the federal government was preventing doctors from treating my condition, which is called Lyme disease, with anything, including antibiotics. There's many reasons for that. You guys can go down that rabbit trail on your own. You can Google Aaron and Melissa Dykes' investigation to Plum Island and Lyme disease. But more importantly, I had, because of my illness, had not been the best person that I could have been. And I made a lot of mistakes. And out of those mistakes, I regret. But I can honestly say that I never had a victim. I've never harmed anyone. I've never hurt anyone, but I did make mistakes. But there came a point in my life that I turned my life to Jesus Christ. When I turned my life to Jesus Christ, all of those things, they were lifted off of my shoulders like a weight. And I'm far from perfect. I'm not claiming to be anything remotely close to being perfect. I still have a journey to go on. I remember sitting with Ryan in the melon patch at the Bundy Ranch, and him lecturing me, and the information that he imparted to me is still resonating with me today. But folks, I want you to hear this, because this is my testimony. These were my mistakes. And those mistakes led me to a felony. Now, Ammon, when you called and told me about what was going on in Oregon, I was in Texas. I was aware. I didn't make you aware. I did not make you aware. I was aware that I already had a felony on my record. And I said to myself, and I prayed, Lord, I could bear punishment just for showing up for this thing. But please tell me what you want me to do. And the message that I was given was to go. And in that, out of all of that, in the prison, I got to witness to so many people, including that corrections officer that I told you about. And I say to people out there, don't you people out there fear anything but the Lord.
Exactly.
Don't fear any, because he will put you in a place that you may feel persecuted, you may be abused, but you witness to one person, and that difference makes all the difference in the world to another person that they may come in contact with. Is that not true, Ammon?
It is so true. Never, ever make a decision on fear. Fear does not come from God. It's the opposite of faith.
Amen.
And that's such a great story, because you came because you knew what was right.
Yep.
And you suppressed any fear that was, trying to influence you. And if you would have followed that, you wouldn't have come. You wouldn't have experienced the great spirit and the blessing so much. But you also
wonderful
wouldn't
thing.
Have, you also would not have been put in prison for a year.
But that's
which
okay.
Which was a blessing to you.
That's
yeah,
okay.
Which was a blessing to you.
Hey, you and
all
I got
of that and then
yo,
turned
you and I
to
got a
good.
Chance.
That was amazing.
Right? They landed me right in the same unit with you, and you and I, not only did we share information and prayer and all of, Ammon, when it comes down to it, was that God works in mysterious ways, and he put us in the same unit out of all the units they could have put me in, folks out there, so that you know, I've never told
all
this
the
really.
But all the places in the country, Tom.
Yeah.
We ended up not just in the same facility, but in the same pod, just a few beds down from each other.
Yeah. And the time that we made of that was so important. And when I left there, the time that I spent among other people and the sharing of the message, I mean, we were people... people that were in under such emotional turmoil, drug addiction, all kinds of other ailments and infirmities, but the blessings that I had to minister to other people, the message of freedom, the message of God, the message of a better purpose. Dude, I had people walk up to me shaking my hand and crying, bro. And saying thank you to me. And I'm not anybody. I just shared to them my story. But these people, the message of freedom, liberty, of God, of what's right, resonated within their souls. I saw such amazing things when I was in prison. I told my wife had said to me, oh, you were gone for so long. And I said, it was all meant to be. Because I took that time and I ministered to other people the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. How much better of an opportunity could I ever get in my life? You could give me a position as an executive in a company would not come close to in comparison to the opportunity that I was given going through this institution. That's pretty powerful, brother.
So powerful. So powerful.
Yes, sir. And I have to say, Brian, who took the time to sit down with me in the melon patch on our butts in the dirt, I'll never forget that. And you and I that got to spend time there in Peru, it meant a lot to me. But I want to say to the people out there, The Bundys are salt of the earth people, but they're people. They are people. They are men, just like I am. Folks, the real prize, the real focus is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only man that ever walked the face of the earth, in my opinion, that was ever perfect. Ammon, Ryan, myself, and many others were imperfect men. We're not to be worshipped as idols or anything else. But I have to say, Ammon, I respect you. I respect your position on things. I think it's spot on. I really wish from the bottom of my heart that people, especially in the state of Nevada, would look to your brother Ryan as a potential governor of their state. I don't think that they even come close to realizing the freedom that they could live under a righteous man. And can I get just a few of your thoughts on your brother running for governor?
Yeah, you are right in your words. And one thing that has become apparent to me, and because there's been a lot of squirming behind the scenes, as you will, by the Republican Party.
Well, I know.
When it comes to Ryan, and these leaders have contacted me, contacted people that have, you know, interest in Ryan and a relationship with Ryan, trying to get him to drop out of the race.
Hey, I have an idea.
And
how about if they were to waken up to the point that Ryan is what we need and to embrace him?
Well, exactly, this is where, you know, I had an individual called me yesterday. I missed his phone call, so I called him back this morning. And I have great love and respect. And he says one of these, you know, influential Republican Party leaders called him because he knew that he had a relationship with Ryan. And he wanted him to talk Ryan into dropping out of the race. And he said, the individual that I was talking to said, you know, I listened to him and their theory and their thought and all of that. And at first I was like almost convinced that they were right. He goes, and then I called a few people, you know, that I've relied on, you know, for political advice and kind of anything. And one of them is actually a very staunch Republican in the Nevada, in the state of Nevada. And she said, I won't mention names, but she says, you know, the last time the Republican Party got control of the House, the Senate, and the governorship, I was a very influential part of that. And we pushed so hard to get that control. And she says, that year, Nevada, those Republicans passed the largest tax bill ever known in the history of Nevada. And
wow.
she says, with Adam Laxalt, who is the running, you know, Republican candidate, if he is to get in there, the same thing will happen. And basically fully endorsing my brother. And really what it comes down to is Nevada can have the same thing that they've always had, or they can have Ryan Bundy, because he's really the only choice. And he is, and it's amazing, because what he will do, you know, everybody wants to say, well, what is Ryan Bundy going to do? What he's going to do is get out of the people's way. He's going to free
well,
them.
You know, Ammon,
so it's not a whole lot of what he's going to do. It's just a matter of what he's going to clear out.
Cannot do, right? You know, my message to conservatives, if, you know, we can put a letter on the end of our name, a D or an R. But if you out there listening to this broadcast, if you believe in true conservatism, and when I mean by true conservatism, I mean by classic liberalism, by paleoconservatism, I mean by do not tread upon me mentality. I have to say to the folks out there, I know Ryan Bundy personally, and I know that whether you're in an African-American community in Las Vegas or you're in a ranching community in Mesquite, what he wants for you is to be left alone. Is to be left alone. Do you hear me? Hear me, public. He wants you to be left alone. How quintessential American can that message be? You have been, if you believe for any stretch of the imagination that the Bundys are racist, because that's what the mainstream media wants you to believe, don't fall for it. My best friends are Mexican, African American, and Native American. My wife, sitting in the next room for me right now, is Native American. I assure you that she wants your governor to be Ryan Bundy. Why? Because Ryan Bundy wants you to live by your own means. He wants you to live free, unencumbered. He wants you to not be tread upon. I think that that's safe to say, don't you, Ammon?
I think that's a great description of Ryan and his desires for the, you know, Nevadans. And, you know, I hope that they give him that chance. I mean, it will be absolutely amazing. And, yeah, it's going to completely rock the boat of the establishment there in the state.
Well, it just goes to show you of
the swamp.
But yeah, it goes to show you, boy, that if the Republican establishment does not embrace him, they're only showing that who they truly are. And folks, let me take you back. As a historian, Ammon, I have to go here. As a historian, in the 1930s, William Crystal departed from the left and came over to the conservative right. He was a vowed and admitted Trotskyite. Okay? And for those of you that may not understand what a Trotskyite is, it is a subscriber to at least in part, a Marxist ideology, that took on the flavor of conservatism and traditional values, but still believed in the redistribution of wealth, socialism, big government, all of that, but only in the flavor of conservatism. And with Ryan Bundy, what we stand to gain, not just, you know, I'm an Arizonan. I'm not a Nevadan. I'm telling you folks in Nevada, what you stand to gain with Ryan Bundy is an absolute, true, unapologetic, unabashed, true conservative that believes in every individual right, from the person in the absolute inner city to the country, to the ranchers, to the farmers, to those that live in the inner city that work for the casinos and everything else. You really want freedom. You really want government out of your lives I have to advocate. I'm sorry, Ammon. I don't mean to get on a soapbox, but I have to advocate because I've spoken to your brother in the melon patch. I've spoken to, not only have I spoken him in the melon patch, but I stood beside African-American and Native American individuals at the Bundy Ranch, defending the Bundy Ranch, because they believed in the cause of freedom. And people have been propagandized by the mainstream media to believe in false premises because of excerpt statements that came. But, folks, when I tell you, my wife is in the next room, and she is a Native American Cherokee. And the one person that she adores out of this entire thing that happened is Ryan Bundy. That should speak for itself. You should really think about what the BIA and other federal agencies are telling you and propagandizing you to believe. And that was also another message, Ammon, of LaVoy. Remember the video that LaVoy and I and Blaine Cooper and David Fry did about the Native American artifacts? Folks, please come out here. Please take possession of your cultural heritage because it's not being respected. You guys were painted as being the destructors of the Native American artifacts. And while the truth was that for the past 30 years, the federal government was really guilty of that offense. And LaVoy, when I took this information to him, he did a video. I'm sure you've seen the video, Ammon, he said, you know, Paiute people, you know, here's your stuff. It's in rat droppings next to a water heater it's about to explode. It's not being treated with respect. Please, please come and talk to us so that we can give you your cultural heritage. And it wasn't 2 days later that he was gunned down, Ammon. Yeah. 2 days later. And I'm going to go here real quick. And I told myself I wasn't going to do this. But I want to do this to clear the air because a lot of people I've gotten a lot of emails from people. Ammon, was I ever kicked out of the Malheur Refuge?
No, you were not.
Thank you. Was I ever kicked out of the Bundy Ranch?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. And for the folks out there, the people like the detractors, and I'm not going to give them their name or their publicity, I assure you, I stand for principle, and Ammon, I'm going to admit to you right now, there's going to be people that can throw up my record from many years ago. I'm not proud of Ammon, but as Christians, when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, does he not wash us of our sins?
That is the whole reason he came.
Exactly. So if you're a Christian out there and you want to paint me, please paint me for something present. Because for the past 10 or so plus years, I have stood in obedience, not to any man on the face of this earth, but one that walked, which was Jesus Christ. And I've stood in respect to others that have stood with him, like Ammon and Ryan and Cliven and LaVoy. Respect to worship of only one man, that is Jesus Christ. Ammon, could you lead us out in a prayer?
Sure. I would love to do that. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this time that we have had to discuss these many topics. We're thankful for the spirit and passion that thou hast given us to understand and do our best to articulate by law, true principles, the natural laws in which God has given us. And we know and believe and have seen and witnessed when we follow these laws of the people that we are in peace and tranquility, that our lives individually and collectively are happy and exciting and excited and full of life. And when we turn away from these natural laws that thou hast placed upon us in this life, that we are confused and full of turmoil and that there is chaos about, and that we experience these things because simply we either do not understand or we turn away from the simple laws and principles that are based and placed here by thy wisdom. We pray, Father, that many, many more in this country and across these lands and throughout the world will see these principles, freedom, these natural laws, and understand them and live by them and love their neighbor and stand up for their neighbor when their neighbor's rights are being violated, that we may have peace and that we may live on in a few more generations with prosperity and peace and happiness. This is our desire. We know that it is because of thy Son that has come and sacrificed and taught us these things that we can be forgiven and that all things can happen. And we are grateful for that, Father. We ask for thy blessings to be upon us. We know that thou hast protected us. It is by thy hand that we speak here today. And we love thee. We love our country. We love the people around us. And we say these things with gratitude in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I have only one thing to add, if you don't mind if I continue in your prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity that you have given me to rise for what I consider brothers and or sisters who were unjustly oppressed. Father, I know that I am an imperfect person who has made mistakes, many in my life, that you have cleansed me of. Father, I know that you have given me the strength, and I know that you have given me the backbone to not fear. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, Father, for thou art with me. And as Galatians 5, verse 13 says, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but use it for love, to serve one another. Father, this verse I've taken to heart, and through all of my faults, I stand to continue to stand for my fellow brothers and sisters, regardless of what threat that may cause to me, because I believe in the spirit and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, stand and give me a backbone in my life, to give me the ability to stand, to serve the Lord and not myself. Lord, please give this broadcast a reach that will reach out to maybe the one individual out there, one or a thousand, Lord, it doesn't matter to me, but one or a thousand, that it will touch their heart and bring them to you, Lord. Heavenly Father, please give me the strength to do all the things that I need to do to cleanse my personal life, to be worthy of you, and to be worthy of the blessings of liberty and freedom that you unalienably give to me and to others. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Ammon, you know you're forever my brother. If there's anything that we at Resurrect the Republic, this broadcast, can do for you or for Ryan or for anyone else, all you need to do is pick up the phone. And you know, there's one other thing that I just wanted to delve into very briefly that I hear in emails. Oh, have you turned Mormon? Right, you know what? I visit with the missionaries regularly. We have wonderful conversations, and I don't know the future of my progression, but I can say to people out there, folks, regardless of whether you're LDS or just a Christian, please don't get trapped in the belief that you have to be something to stand for the cause of liberty and freedom for Jesus Christ. I am leaning towards some certain paths that were shown to me in the melon patch. Ammon? And you and I did have a very wonderful time that I will never forget. You know, how many people can say, Ammon, that they had a really wonderful time in federal prison? Praise the Lord, right?
Yeah.
So that in and of itself should be a symbol. Ammon, thank you for joining us tonight at Resurrect the Republic, and I hope this will be the one of many interviews that we have in the future. And I God bless your family, your wife, and it's so nice to have you home with your own. It's so nice that God gave us this victory and shown even the most liberal of courts that the charges were to be dismissed with prejudice. So I want to say to you tonight from our audience at Resurrect the Republic, God bless you. We're with you. And if ever you need us or myself, say the word.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
All right.
Let's do it again.
Yes, sir. All right. I'll talk to you soon, brother. God bless you.
Okay. You too. Take care, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Tonight, going out is out. Wingstop is up in the flavor of your cruise night in. So get lemon pepper, OG hot, mango habanero, or any of Wingstop's legendary flavors. Introducing Wingstop's Big Night In Bundle. 25 boneless wings and your choice of 3 craveable flavors and 3 delicious dips, all for just $15.99. At participating location, only at Wingstop. Order online at Wingstop.com and let DoorDash deliver your plan. Just choose delivery at checkout and get at it.
And has not served our national security interests. What if we wake up one day and realize that the terrorist threat is a predictable consequence of our meddling in the affairs of others and has nothing to do with us being free and prosperous? What if propping up repressive regimes in the Middle East endangers both the United States and Israel? What if occupying countries like Iraq and Afghanistan and bombing Pakistan is directly related to the hatred directed toward us? What if someday it dawns on us that losing over 5,000 American military personnel in the Middle East since 9/11 is not a fair trade-off for the loss of nearly 3,000 American citizens, no matter how many Iraqi, Pakistani, and Afghan people are killed or displaced? What if we finally decide that torture, even if called enhanced interrogation technique, is self-destructive and produces no useful information, and that contracting it out to a third world nation is just as evil? What if it is finally realized that war and military spending is always destructive to the economy? What if all wartime spending is paid for through the deceitful and evil process of inflating and borrowing? What if we finally see that wartime conditions always undermine personal liberty? What if conservatives who preach small government wake up and realize that our interventionist foreign policy provides the greatest incentive to expand the government? What if conservatives understood once again that their only logical position is to reject military intervention and managing an empire throughout the world? What if the American people woke up and understood that the official reasons for going to war are almost always based on lies and promoted by war propaganda in order to serve special interests? What if we as a nation came to realize that the quest for empire eventually destroys all great nations? What if Obama has no intention of leaving Iraq? What if a military draft is being planned for the wars that will spread if our foreign policy is not changed? What if the American people learn the truth, that our foreign policy has nothing to do with national security, that it never changes from one administration to the next? What if war and preparation for war is a racket serving the special interests? What if President Obama is completely wrong about Afghanistan and turns out worse than Iraq and Vietnam put together? What if Christianity actually teaches peace and not preventive wars of aggression? What if diplomacy is found to be superior to bombs and bribes in protecting America? What happens if my concerns are completely unfounded? Nothing. But what happens if my concerns are justified and ignored? Nothing good.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Sin.